Now entering Nerdist.com.
Big Pop Fun.
It's big love, pop art, and fun times from the Wilson World Studios in California, USA. It's Big Pop Fun. Here's Tom Wilson.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Big Pop Fun Podcast with Tom Wilson. I think it's actually called the Big Pop Fun with Tom Wilson, the podcast. So, hi, I'm Tom. I'm the host of the podcast that I don't know the title to, really. But I ended that sentence with a preposition, and as Winston Churchill told us, the ending of a sentence with a preposition is something up for which I will not put. So, welcome to the podcast. Are you ready? Are you ready to buckle up your imaginary seatbelt and go on a magical sleigh ride of enchantment and wonder as we flit? I'm going to try it again, people, as we flit and float and fly beyond our old visions and ideas and that boredom with ourselves, and we give our hearts an opportunity to breathe and to break free and truly live within this precious moment, unhindered by resentments of our small and fearful past or expectations of our small and fearful future. I'm accepting offers to work at a greeting card company, so please, Hallmark, just email me. info@TomWilsonUSA.com, because I'm ready for not the old kind, not the ones with the cartoon of the guy on the front, and you know, I mean the rustic paper that's folded and that's from the heart. That's what I'm about. Welcome to another podcast. We are rounding the corner on a year of these podcasts, and let me thank you, because I've been so surprised and so gratified by everyone who seems to be enjoying it. I'm really glad that mostly the feedback I get are from people who are enjoying it, and people who don't enjoy it, there's a lot of stuff to listen to and a lot of stuff to watch on the internet, so they just go do that, and that's pretty cool. But welcome to another edition of the podcast, brought to you by, as it always is, by art and by doing your own thing. My friend Deborah Foreman, who's now on Facebook, and she's making beautiful jewelry, and I'm going to get her Pearls of Wisdom, I think it's called, that she's making beautiful necklaces and bracelets and things. And it's just a human being. Deborah is a wonderful lady. I want to have her on the podcast. She lives a couple of hours from me. We're going to work it out, but she's making fabulous jewelry. Go contact Deborah through Facebook or whatever, or Pearls of Wisdom. I'll get a link for you, and go buy something for somebody you love that somebody made. Go purchase art. Go to that art fair and go up to a booth, and it can be something small. It can be something for $20. Why not put something up in your kitchen that somebody made with their hands and cared about it? I don't know. I just believe that's what I try to do. I make stuff myself. I paint and I do that stuff. And I try to support people doing that stuff, and go see a live show. But while I'm at it, go out and see a live show. Plays are great. They're fun. Look, let's face it. Can we admit to each other? Because even when I go to a play, and many of them can be less than great, but at least they're interesting. It's something to talk about over coffee after the play, that the fact that you didn't like the play, but it has some purchase, some intellectual argument that you have that seems to be worthwhile, not just seeing a thing on the internet that was like, eh. Anyway, when I was a kid, we had this motorhome, a mobile home, whatever you call it. I don't know what they call it. It wasn't a trailer. It was the one where it was the Winnebago or Winnebago, my dad would pronounce it, because he was always, I don't know, somewhat try to be classy about it. I don't know. We didn't know how to pronounce Winnebago, so he pronounced it, we're going in the Winnebago to Florida. to visit the Kennedy Space Center. So we went to the Kennedy Space Center, and we saw all of we saw the rockets. We saw the Apollo mission rockets. We saw the Lunar Excursion Module, the LEM, as they call it. All those things that we saw, moon rocks. We saw many things when I was a kid, which were inspirational and were supposed to inspire us. I'm talking about this because Neil Armstrong died recently and seemed like just a magnificent man of science, of adventure, and lived a very, very gentlemanly and classy life. And God rest his soul. But as a kid, you're looking at all those space things and satellite technology and all this stuff, and it was really inspiring, and so many kids wanted to do that sort of thing. Of course, on the other side was daredevils. We're daredevils. We had our daredevils. I'm talking about this now. I'm moving into Felix Baumgartner, this gentleman who basically just, you know, jumped from a balloon. He was wearing, as they all do now. I mean, I think every daredevil of anything. I mean, if you ride a bike in a particularly fast way down a hill, some representative of Red Bull will run up to you and put a hat on you and say you have to wear these Red Bull pants. You're like, I was just riding the bike kind of quickly down this hill. Yes. Well, in case someone had a video on you, please wear the wet Red Bull hat. So the guy was wearing a Red Bull fake astronaut suit. And he dropped for so this is the things. My point. Look, this isn't like in my day, we had better. No, because, you know, Neil Armstrong wasn't my day. The guy was an adult. I was a little kid. I'm just saying that we've moved to a point, I guess, where NASA now, I don't even know what they do. I think they've just ballooned into this bureaucracy thing, and they just don't do much as far as they take the same amount of money, probably more, probably way, way more in order to do whatever they do. They probably, I don't know, do they help the weather service? What, I don't know. The space shuttle is done now. The space shuttle Endeavour actually 2 days ago was driving down the streets of Los Angeles to its museum. Past Randy's Donuts, the famous donut shop, and it went right by Randy's Donuts, which is right down near LAX Airport. So that was something to see for everyone in Los Angeles. But that's where we've come to, that NASA is now, I guess, this bloated bureaucracy. I forgive me, I don't know what they do, but they're certainly not out there in the news saying, we are NASA and we are exploring space and we are doing this stuff. I mean, they did the Martian rover. But that was the third, I think, Martian rover. So every new Martian rover they do, they go, well, let's take $70 trillion and we'll send another go-kart to Mars. But this time, seriously, the pictures are going to be way better. They're going to be so clear. But for our adventure, for our inspiration and everything, we get the fake astronaut in the Red Bull astronaut suit dropping out of a really expensive balloon. He survived. I'm glad of that. I'm good for Felix. Good for Felix. He dropped 24 miles. He broke the sound barrier. Just himself. Just one guy broke the sound barrier. I think that's a new thing, right? That the guy just himself, just falling, you break the sound barrier. I haven't heard of that. Well, but I haven't heard of a lot of NASA stuff either, so I don't hear of a lot of stuff, I guess I have to admit. But he is our new daredevil and adventure. That you just, kids, please take on this inspiration and get your own Red Bull fake astronaut suit, and you jump out of something. And Red Bull, which has magical powers apparently, will just give you the energy to survive it. So, yeah, Red Bull does the whole, well, never mind. Anyway, but Evel Knievel was, now there was a daredevil, and I'm not saying that in my day we had Evel Knievel, because Evel Knievel was way older than me, but he did jump that X-1 rocket cycle across the Snake River Canyon. All right, not exactly across. He jumped the X-1 rocket cycle, you know, 30 feet into some bushes. But you have to give the guy credit. Evel Knievel, Evel, I saw this documentary where Evel Knievel was actually saying, like, he knew there was some design flaw or something. He knew, basically, like, if this thing goes in Snake River and this thing, I'm like, I'm dead. But it's ABC. It's like Wide World of Sports. Howard Cosell is here. And so I'm jumping it. I was watching on live television when I was a kid as Evel Knievel jumped the X-1 rocket cycle 30 feet. The parachute actually deployed while it was on the takeoff ramp. And it just went up and about, I don't know, and jumped and, you know, and landed in some bushes. And that was it for the Snake River Canyon. However, you got to give Evel Knievel credit. He was not wearing a Red Bull spacesuit or anything. He was just wearing, like, leather. He was wearing the Evel Knievel leather, and that's how he did. He jumped over the fountains at Caesar's Palace and broke every bone in his body. And so give it up for Evel Knievel. An incredible daredevil, and from all news to everyone, you know, not the greatest father, husband, or conversationalist, but give him credit for being a crazy motorcyclist who was never sponsored by Red Bull. Anyway, this brings me to I intro these things and I just kind of go off on tangents, and I apologize for that. And the one, and you know, I know you guys, I get emails saying, well, could you make the, like, the intro shorter just so we could get to the fine, we will. But as I talked about, Ben Scott is a stuntman. And if you haven't heard my conversation with Ben, please go back to an earlier episode. Ben Scott, a stuntman extraordinaire. Walter Scott is Ben's brother. Walter is, I think, the eldest of the Scott brothers, Walter, Ben, John Clay Scott, who are stuntmen, car racers, horse people, cowboys. And boy, that to me, when I've been around, and I haven't been around a lot of it outside the movie business, but getting into the movie business and being able to be standing there as a stuntman, a cowboy, is flying past you. And when they're on a horseback and that horse is galloping with just as fast as it can go, they call it, like, well, hey, Walter, you were flat flying out there. And it is flat flying. And when they go by you on horseback that fast, wow, I'm sorry, Felix Baumgartner, congratulations on the 24-mile drop in the Red Bull suit. But Walter Scott is, man, he did something. I mean, just the young women. I was out at a rodeo, and just the barrel racers, those young girls on those horses that are flying and they're just hanging on for dear life. Wow. It's just, to me, it just, man, if that doesn't race your heart, I don't know. I don't think you're alive. Anyway, but this is a conversation with Walter Scott. Now, Walter is a stuntman, a horseman, a person of decades upon decades of experience. This guy has stunt doubled everybody. You know, Robert Redford, Clint Eastwood on horseback. I mean, just everybody. So it is an unusual recording because I called Walter after I talked to Ben, and Ben and I did it at Ben's kitchen. We called Walter. Hey, Walter, you want to, you know, be on this podcast? Well, come on, you know, well, come on out, Tom. Sure, we'll do it. And it was the morning. And he had a bunch of guys out at his house, and he has a huge horse ring and cattle pens out there, and they were doing rodeo. They were roping those dogies, literally. You know, the roping for a rodeo. You know, where the small calf is in the pen, and then the gate opens and it runs, and they're running after it, well, galloping on the horse and roping it, tying its legs and timing it and everything. Well, they were doing that out at Walter's house because Walter had that ability. So I thought that we'd sit by his table or something and I'd ask him about his career. He said, well, come on out. Come on, well, no, just turn it on. And we'll go, you know, I'm out here with the guys just riding and roping and stuff, and we'll just have a conversation. So it is one of the, I guess, the most unusual podcasts that I've had, my conversation with Walter. But I think it's interesting. It's a slice of Americana that some people are familiar with, but most people aren't. That you can drive about an hour and a half outside of Los Angeles and in the dusty hillsides out there are living cowboys, and they're just, and they're doing it every day. They're taking care of their horses. They're taking care of their animals. And I enjoy talking to Walter. I hope you enjoy my conversation with my old buddy, Walter Scott. This is my podcast, my only podcast. It makes me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, folks, how much I love you. Some of you who send me a lot of emails, let's just call it like. I don't want to set you off.
Come on, we'll take a walk. You can, what do you want to talk and report?
Well, I was just talking, you know, I'm talking to Ben.
Yeah.
And he brings up your dad.
Right.
And how you guys began.
Right.
And for a kid like me from Philadelphia who already comes out to Hollywood and meets cowboys and everything, Ben's telling me about how you began and brought him in.
Right.
But how did you begin? I mean, from your dad out there in Blythe, California.
Well, I knew some guys. There was a guy that drove my school bus that was a cowboy. And I was a cowboy kid, you know. And I didn't hear from him. He came to Pierce College out here, this guy. And he got in the picture business as a stuntman.
Uh-huh.
And so I heard about it, and I thought, oh, that sounds exciting, you know. And I said, well, maybe I'd rather be an actor. So I got married, like, at 19, and my wife was going to school in Beverly Hills, or my girlfriend at the time, and she was going to school with all these famous movie stars and stuff, and I thought, yeah, that might be interesting. So I married her, and we came to Hollywood, and I went to acting school, but I knew these stunt guys, and I almost got under contract at Warner Brothers for $125 a week as an actor, as a contract player.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew these stunt guys, and they were making $80 a day. And I thought, wait a minute, something's wrong here. I'm a cowboy, and in those days, there were every studio had 6 or 7 Western TV shows, and they were making Westerns, and I'm a cowboy. So I thought, I'm going that way. And I didn't mess with the acting. I mean, it helped me a lot going to acting school because I was... I could do cold readings and stuff. You know?
Sure.
So, anyway, I just went into the stunt end of it and stayed with it.
So, really, in those days, like, an actor would make, what, $125 a week?
Yeah, that's what
and
they were.
And the stuntmen were making $80 a day.
Yeah, that was the contract players at Warner Brothers. But, you know, you had all those, Clint Walker and Garner, and all those guys were there doing series. But for a bit player, I would have been a bit player, you know. They weren't looking at me as a star or anything, but I looked around. There were a lot of guys that, like Troy Donahue and those guys that all kind of looked like me. I said, I better go this other way.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with the stunt end of it.
And how do you, when you're a kid at that point, what do you do to get in stunts? You just go up to a guy and go, hey, I'll go for it for you?
No, you know, like I say, I knew guys that rodeoed.
Mm-hmm.
And rodeo, and by being a cowboy, and I rode horses anyway, and I've fallen off a jillion of them, and some guys had some fallen horses, so I learned to follow those horses. I just met other people as I was, even going to acting school, I met guys in acting school who were stuntmen, actor stuntmen. And they would show me different things. And I met a guy, and he showed me how to do fights. This is how you throw punches. And so you just learn. There's no schools, but it was on-the-job training that you learn from other guys. And that's still the way it is today. I mean, there are some guys that try to put on schools, but they can't guarantee you any work. They can't help you get a job. They can't even help you get in the Screen Actors Guild. So it's who you know and who you meet, and by being a rodeo cowboy, and these other guys were working. A lot of guys worked extra and rode in gangs and stuff, you know. So I started doing that too.
Came with a lot of skills, though.
Yeah,
you had a lot of horse skills.
You had the horse skills. You had to be able to get on one. You had to damn sure be able to ride one. And a lot of times, people ask me. They used to ask me, says, "Do you know how to ride?" I said, if you can lead that sumbitch to me, I can ride him. If you can't lead him to me, maybe I can't ride him. It may be too wrong. But if you can lead him to me, I can ride him.
just a standard joke I use.
Yeah, people, depending on the horse or something.
Yeah, people look at you and ask you, can you ride? And it's kind of embarrassing to a real good cowboy to ask him if he can ride. What's he going to say? Yes, that's as far as he goes. But if you don't know, you want that real cowboy to expand on it.
Well, sure. But well, you don't go into the symphony orchestra, walk down to the front row, and go to the guy, hey, can you play that violin?
Right.
He's going to stare at you.
That's the same with the cowboy. They tell us a joke. There was 100 good cowboys lined up, and the director walks out to pick out a guy for this part in this film. And all the real cowboys are there, and they're all humble guys. And here this guy is with his pants tucked in his boots and a goofy hat on, and all the real cowboys are looking at him and laughing, you know. So the director walked down to them and said, well, all you guys look great. Will the best cowboy here step forward? Well, none of the good cowboys stepped forward, but this goof with this Hollywood act, he stepped right out there, and they think, okay, you got the job, you know. So that's Hollywood.
Yeah, of course.
No, then, and those directors, they didn't know, you know.
Well, go do your thing. Your team roping today.
No, come on in here. See what we do. I gotta lock my dog up over here.
Uh-huh. Oh, she chases him around?
Yeah, if I don't. So she knows to just come right in here and get in her little spot. Now she's there.
Wow. Now, what's this horse's name?
This is Josie.
Josie.
He's a new horse. Probably one of the best horses I ever owned.
Really?
I really like him. He's strictly a rope horse, but he's really a nice horse. I really like him. He takes care of an old man.
He's so really gentle and kind of push button, does what you say.
Push button, does what you want him to do. Mm-hmm. Stands real quiet.
Yeah.
Doesn't prance and run sideways.
Because I remember on that show we did, there was a horse that Corky Randall had. Corky Randall was wrangling the animals. Right. And he had a horse called Lowball that I loved.
Lowball was Lowball.
Just did what you said.
Yeah.
Nothing too aggressive and everything. Yeah. But then I rode that black horse.
Yeah, it was a little excitable.
Diablo, that was kind of excitable. That didn't care for me very much. He loved, you know, bringing me near fences and trying to knock me off and everything.
Yeah. If I was a golfer, this would be my golf course.
Sure.
I'm not a golfer, I'm a cowboy, so now, this is my play field.
How many acres do you have out here?
10 acres.
10.
Yeah. And this arena is about an acre. And I keep the cows down there and the steers with rope.
Do you need a specifically large arena for team roping
pretty much,
you do? You need a larger place because a lot of guys
ride. This is really an unusually large one. Most people don't have this big a one, but I said we can do anything in it. And I give lessons out here. Sulik, he comes out here if he's going to do a Western. And,
oh, does
and
he? Tunes rides?
Up. And Jimmy Kahn comes here all the time.
Uh-huh.
And this is Tony Boggs. I don't think you know Tony Boggs. Come here, Tony. Nothing. I'm going to introduce you to somebody. I don't see if you recognize him.
Tony, how you doing? I'm Tom. Get Tom Wilson, international superstar.
Yeah.
Would you call me an international superstar, please, Walter? It helps things.
International
superstar.
Yeah,
thanks, Tom.
I saw him on another good movie not too long ago, too.
I was great in that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
I told my wife, I said, you recognize him? She goes, I think so. I said, that's Biff. Oh, my God. I can't remember what the hell it was. It was just the other night. How are you, man?
I don't either. But I remember being good in it, though. Yeah. I remember that one.
That's all that matters.
A couple of them I've been sluggish, but that one I was very strong. Well, so you're roping today as well, huh?
Sure.
I need somebody to do all this stuff for me now, you know.
You don't? But, yeah, a man of your experience.
You know, I mean, it's difficult.
And position in the industry doesn't have a guy doing this stuff?
Yeah, I should have him all saddled and ready for
you. You should have a hot cup of tea.
It works out, you're retired.
Yeah. So does the horse, is that something you do with team roping, putting a pad and some protection on the horse, or is this particular, Josie needs a little bit of...
It's when you get the horse you kind of like, you want to protect him, and it's all it is protective gear. It's like a stuntman wearing elbow pads. You don't really need them most of the time, but if you fall and hit an elbow, now you're hurt. So
Josie gets some pads.
Josie gets protective stuff. So
now, do other horses, you don't pad them up, and they're like, hey, what's with me? Josie gets pads and not me?
Yeah, because they don't care much about the others.
Yeah.
It's the same like the star. You put pads on them.
Of course.
And,
you know, me, you just throw me into the gravel.
Yeah, just get him out there.
And how many... You used to have horses that would tumble fell, for you, right? That fell.
Had a horse named Tumbles.
Tumbles was the name of the horse?
Yeah. I used him on that show, too. I think I had him on... Died, but I don't know if he made it to... As far as... I've had about four good fallen horses. And
four of them over the years?
Over the years. And Tumbles was my... last one, and he was the, you could do anything with him. I mean, put anybody on him. They could lay him down. I mean, I used.
So you could put an actor on, so he was gentle enough
that
anybody could ride him. Anybody. And then when you needed him to twist up and fall down,
he did it.
He did it.
And I could even put a guy like you that knew how to ride. I could say, Tom, this is how you do it. Watch me do this. And you watch me lay him down a few times, and you could do it. And he gave you confidence because he wasn't. He wasn't scary, you know. Mm-hmm. He was real calm and real quiet. You could lead him right in a house, lead him right in your house if you wanted to. You know, he was so...
Wow.
He was smart.
But he Tumbles worked, made you a lot of money, huh?
Yeah, a lot of money. He was a good one. I mean, I think I used him on the Outlaw Josie Wales, where Clint Eastwood had to grab him by the head and lay him down. As the bad guys were coming by.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
The other horse, they just tapped on the leg, and he laid down. That was Parsons. And Tumbles, I had a cable running from his bit back through the saddle, and I'm standing way off camera, and Clint grabs him by the nose, and I pull the head at the same time, and he lays down.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a trick that we tried for that movie, but it worked.
Worked fine.
Yeah.
Well, if you need to ride, ride.
Yeah,
if
no,
you need to ride, go.
Keep talking and I...
But when did you start, like, doing big shows? I mean, what did you start? You start on TV and that kind of thing?
Well...
I mean, doing stunts?
You know what? I went on an interview. I didn't have an SAG card. And they always ask you, you know, do you have your card? And I always say, yeah. And so I go on a commercial interview for a Campbell's Bean. And they said, do you have your SAG? I said, oh, yeah. So they gave me the job. And I went out and did the job. And then I had to get my SAG card. Mm-hmm. But by doing this Campbell's Bean thing, gave me my SAG card, and then I became qualified.
Right.
Because I had my card
to
do whatever. And I don't know, I forget. I met a few people, and I worked extra. And I stood in for a guy named Max von Sydow on a show called, it's something, I forget what it was even. But his next movie was a thing called Hawaii. Which was a Michener book.
James Michener book, yeah.
Hawaii. So I see he was there, so I went over and talked to him, and he wanted, or they called me to stand in for him, and I said, I don't stand in anymore. I'm strictly a stuntman now. And I told Max von Sydow and explained it all to him. He said, well, good, you can be my stuntman then. And I went to Hawaii for like 5 months on that movie, and that was kind of my big break.
So that was kind of your decision to make, which was I'm just going to do stunts now. I'm going to turn down that other kind of work.
I won't ride in the posses anymore. I won't work extra. I won't stand around and nod my head and stuff. You give me a line, I'll say it, but I'm not working extra anymore. I am a stuntman now. And I think working extra, I worked for about 2 years, was a great training ground.
Mm-hmm.
You learn the etiquette of don't sit in that chair, that's the stars, or don't do this, or don't, you learn all the etiquette of the business. And then by being a stuntman, then you've got more clout, or you're accepted more as a stuntman than an extra, and anyway.
Sure. Well, now here come the cattle into the arena here.
Right. They come up this return lane. They go into a narrow lane, and they come up, and they get in this chute right here.
Oh, so they're waiting to get in line.
They'll get in
to
line.
To run out of there.
Yeah, and then we'll put them in there. And
now, do they kind of learn the process?
They have to learn
so
the process.
So they just want to, you know, they know they're getting in line here near the chute.
They have an option. They could either do this, or they could go be McDonald's hamburgers.
Ah,
a lot of them choose this option.
So they volunteer. Hey, listen, rope me.
Yeah.
I realize I get unroped eventually. Right. Somebody comes out and unties me.
And we put wraps on their heads so it doesn't hurt their horns. They're wrapped so we can't hurt them. And we
that you actually put stuff on their horns, so right. It doesn't. Oh, okay.
They're called horn wraps. We put those on there to keep them from hurting their heads.
Uh-huh.
And and we don't abuse them because we want to rope them every day. It's what we practice and we play.
Right.
The same with a horse. We don't abuse our horses. We want they're our friends. They're our companions. You know, people think that we abuse animals. We don't abuse them. We treat them very well. I mean. Mm-hmm. If you were a steer, you'd probably love for me to rope you instead of being a McDonald's hamburger.
I'm ready for you to put the horn pads on me right now. I'm not sure I could run as fast as that one, but...
Well, some of them slow down. Some of them get to cheating a little bit, and they don't run as fast as they should. And it's bad. I have to trade them off then.
Really? If you, like, the chute opens and you, the calves know, you got to just run, man.
You
got to sprint.
Yeah.
If you don't run, a truck comes and picks you up and you go on a trip that you don't want to take.
I don't know if they talk about it at night or whatever.
They must. What happened to Ted?
Yeah.
He stopped running. They brought the truck.
He ducked his head and he left in the night.
That's right. Man. Don't sprain your ankle, guys.
Yeah,
don't sprint. Just take care of yourself, but sprint hard.
And let old Walter catch you. Don't duck your head.
Let him catch you.
Yeah.
In fact, after your rope, just say something like, boy, good job, Walter.
Brag on.
See you tomorrow.
Oh, God.
Well, you go do your thing.
I'll just, I got to warm him up just a little bit.
Yeah, so. You go ahead. I'll go ahead with Josie here.
You stand right there in front of him while I get on, because he moves sometimes, and an old man like me,
all right.
When he moves, I...
Here we go. Yeah.
I made it.
You're good. Pardon me?
I said, I think you probably already know about it.
I know about what?
Showbiz. He said, showbiz? I'll show you about showbiz.
No, you could show me a lot of things about showbiz that I don't know, because I just show up and,
yeah.
and just try to hang in there like everybody, you know? Walter and Ben and John, we work together a lot, but doing Western stuff, like I said, I'm from Philadelphia. I've ridden a subway way more than a horse. Way more than a horse. But I love it. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful on a glorious day like this.
Oh, what a winter we're having, huh?
Yeah.
I talked to my buddy up in Montana a while ago. It was 40 below and the wind was blowing.
Yeah.
It's terrible. I said, what are you doing? It's like that. He goes, just stay in the house. I said,
that's
what I'd be doing. I'd be packing my stuff.
And do you ride on shows as well and stuff?
Yeah, I got hurt a couple of years ago. I'm on disability right now. I got bucked off and broke my pelvis right down there.
You broke your pelvis?
Yeah, I shattered it.
Yo!
So they put me on disability for 3 years. So I haven't really been doing nothing. Just riding a little bit and riding my Harley and hanging out.
Not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Did you ride and rope, or did you ride stunts as well?
Oh, yeah. I did all that stuff.
All that stuff.
But them young guys, they can have it. I'm down.
It's a young man's game, huh?
Yes.
Once you shatter your pelvis?
I got a couple plates in me and some screws holding it together. I hit the saddle horn, and it split me like this. And when I hit the ground, it twisted and shattered it across the back. The guy's left here and went to the hospital for 28 days.
So, I may ask, I mean, so you got really jacked up on horseback. So what brought you back into a saddle?
I've been hurt on every. I've thought about that a lot. Every time I've ever been hurt, it's been because of these stupid things. But
these animals.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. That was your mistake right there, getting on top of a gigantic animal and asking him to ride you around.
His brother. But, no, things happen. It happened to me that day.
And you got pins and plates, but I mean, how's your spread down? I mean, is it hurt?
Sore.
Does it hurt?
It hurts all the time.
Yeah.
But they went in and lasered me and my hips and then up in my back and got the pain kind of almost gone. That makes it even worse because you get feeling too good and you want to do something.
Oh, so the pain is pretty good just to keep you from doing something dumb again or something.
Right.
Something. So, taking too big a risk, let's say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or something dumb. Well, either one works.
Yeah.
Because they told me, but I just didn't think he would buck that hard.
Yeah, I saw that old kid down there, Drunkle, with him.
Yeah. Still loves him, I guess.
No, he was scared. I mean, he was roping, and he was, hey, Walter, look, I'm on him. But when he went out to rope his first steer, he was sitting down, waiting. And he didn't do nothing. But then he got off of him. He says, man, I can't rope scared like that.
Oh, this is the brother horse.
This one's brother. Yeah. I sold him to a young kid. His name was Bronk. Figured it was a good match.
Yeah.
The kid's name is Bronk?
Yeah.
Well.
So,
Bronk Boheim.
Man, that's a pretty good cowboy name.
Yeah, so that he got a pretty good cowboy horse.
Yeah, I guess he did. I guess he did. Well, do your thing. Don't let me bother you guys.
I want to visit with you. I enjoy visiting with you.
Well,
I'm going to maybe use you somewhere in one of my Hollywood cowboy things, too.
How long has it been since?
All right, if you want to go to the bottom of the barrel, Walter, all right. No, if you're that desperate.
I'm desperate. You did all your own stuff and all the Back to the Futures.
I did way too much, Walter.
No, you didn't.
I did way too much.
Oh, I had Ben double you once in a while.
Yeah, Ben did double. Oh, well, riding. Are you kidding me? I mean, I rode and I roped.
John when the car skidded into the truck.
Yes. John did the driving.
I've seen him.
Ben did the riding.
Yeah.
But,
those are good movies, man. I wish they'd make fun ones like that.
But I got knocked around enough, you know.
Yeah.
Enough to know... keep acting.
Are you still, do you still do stand-up comics?
I do. Uh-huh.
Where?
All over this great land of ours, man. Wherever they have money, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I thought maybe you had a specific club in L.A. that you went to mostly or something.
The Comedy and Magic Club down in Hermosa Beach is a great club. An old buddy of mine runs that. But, yeah, I'm all over the place. Once that second one went into college at the same time as the first one, and things got very serious, man. Big Daddy had to... fly around and start bringing it in.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all right. Because, you remember, Walter. I mean, I know actors who would say, hey, man, you did one Beretta and you were set for like a couple months and you had a year of the health plan. Now, as you well know, not even close.
You know what happened, too, is when they started giving those good... actors, the supporting actors, minimum plus 10, you killed them. It went away.
Yep.
Now, if you tried to remake a great old movie and needed some great character actors, they ain't around, pal.
Right.
They're gone. They had to go get a job. They had to get out of the business because, I mean, there was a lot of them growing up to be great supporting actors.
Yep.
But most of them have gone away. Sure, there's a few, but... not like there used to be.
I know something about that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I can name you so many guys that had series.
Yeah.
When it went away. All right, this is what we do. See, we're back in here.
Yep.
We tell the steer, you be good now or you'll go be a McDonald's hamburger tomorrow.
So run fast, baby. We gave you horn pads.
Yeah, you got horn pads and everything. All right.
I don't want to be in anybody's way.
You won't be in the way. In fact, you help us because these steers, they all want to run to this man.
Oh, yeah. So I help, so I'll actually be...
Everyone stands here, then they kind of run right down the middle.
Oh, okay.
On the side of me and you can see
what's going on. Hey, that's a beautiful horse.
Yeah.
Man, strong.
I bought him from Walter about a year ago.
Oh, yeah?
Specifically to go to rope on him at the World Series of Team Roping they have in Vegas every winter. And so I bought him. Usually I heel off that horse, but I bought him so I could start. I was going to head for my brother, my little brother. Hadn't roped him with him in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Family deal. But so we entered it. We decided to make up, and we went over there and won $10,000.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, good for you. That's a very strong horse. That's something. Yeah, you guys almost look like actual cowboys. Very close.
We're working on it, though.
Very
we
close.
We practice all the time.
Yeah.
We have to keep coming out here and practicing because we're close.
Uh-huh.
And
so what has to happen in team? Both of you got a rope.
Right. I rope the horns, turn the steer off. He comes in and ropes 2 feet.
Okay.
And then there's generally a flagger. There's a time starts when the steer leaves the chute, and there's a guy out here on horseback. Whenever you come tight with the steer, he drops the flag, and it's a timed event between those two flags.
Oh, uh-huh.
From where the steer started and to where the guy drops the flag. And there's all kinds of rules. If you catch 1 foot, it's 5-second penalty. If you both horses have to be facing the steer, there's all kinds of rules, you know.
Oh, and these guys are going to go. Wow. So that calf, she doesn't run fast enough.
She runs too fast.
Oh, she runs too fast, yeah. And drags her back feet a little bit, so you can't get the rope under it,
right, like
to rope them.
Tony right there, so she kind of hunkers down and drags her feet, so he couldn't catch her. And so I'll replace her with a new one that's still green. And most of them that are raised in this country, they're called longhorns,
mm-hmm.
the native cattle longhorns. But the ones that are really good are from Mexico. They're imported from Mexico. They're called Corrientes. And they're not real smart. They'll run forever. They'll do everything. I swear to God. It's like a joke. It shouldn't be on.
So the Corrientes come up here, and they're good at it, but they just don't know what to do.
They've been raised in Mexico,
yeah.
And they've eaten nothing but cactus and grass. And you give them good feed and stuff, and they think they died and gone to heaven.
Uh-huh.
And they last a long time. And most of your rodeo cattle are Corrientes, not these natives. Mine are native longhorns, and they're smart, and they quit early.
Mm-hmm.
The Mexicans, they last a long time.
Wow.
But you got to pay a lot of money for them, for the Mexicans.
One of these
will cost you probably $350, $400. The Mexicans will cost you $575. They're expensive.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. All right, well, that guy, that last Corriente, he's on the block. He'd
no,
better.
That was a native. That was a
long. Oh, was
one.
It?
Yeah. Do I have any Corrientes in here?
I think that was the only one.
Yeah, she might have been a Corriente at one time. Yeah, yeah. Well, a lot of them are.
So I should go and say, slow down and lift your back feet. Get rope better.
You'll get it. You'll get the longer life.
Yeah. Because it's not looking good.
That one's on borrowed time, too.
Really?
It's starting to drag like
It starts to drag the back feet.
The back feet is bad.
And he's on borrowed time on his way out. Is it a time thing? Do they get tired?
Well, after a while, they just get smarter and they learn.
Oh, and they learned that my back feet are going to get roped when I do this, so I'm going to just shuffle them a little bit.
Right, drag them, and now that somebody can't rope them. And then, see, that one got away, so he went to the back end. He probably told the others about it, too. That's what pisses me off. Tell those other steers about it.
He went in at night, goes, see, you drag your feet.
Yeah,
but Ted dragged his feet. He's gone. Yeah. I don't know where they take you.
You don't know whether to drag.
Maybe they take you to the beach. I don't know. I'm saying he's not coming back.
Right. I don't think he'll be back.
Yeah, no, he's not coming back.
He might have went to a different ranch somewhere, but
yeah.
I don't think so.
No, only temporarily.
Yeah.
That ranch.
Because he thinks he's too smart. So you can't be that smart. Yeah. I call this a training ground for actors. You know, when they come out here, they get lessons and learn and see how real guys do it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, come on down.
There you go. Yep, that one worked.
He gets to stay.
Congratulations, buddy. Yeah, you get to hang out longer.
And see these people going by right here?
Mm-hmm.
There. From the Gentle Barn, which is next door to me.
The Gentle Barn.
The Gentle Barn. So they don't even look over here when they see us roping because they all these animals are supposedly rescued from slaughterhouses and from abuse.
Oh, so the Gentle Barn is next door and they're like a rescuee
Yes,
thing?
They rescue beef that's supposed to be slaughtered. And I think it's kind of unfair to those big old... They got steers over there that weigh 1,500 pounds.
Wow.
Which should have been slaughtered, and their little ankles are breaking over and everything. They don't ride their animals. They lead them, take them for walks every day. And people donate a lot of money. And they're on government grants to support the thing. And it's like...
Oh, so they've been out of shape about cowboys, about you and...
Right.
And roping and riding the horses.
I've been out of shape about them because they're taking taxpayers' money to what? Have animals over there that the people come and pet and pay them $5 a person to come and pet them?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's good, but some of those poor old horses and stuff, their old legs are wore out. They're I don't know. I don't want to get into that too much because it's a, everybody has their own rights. Just don't press on mine.
Right,
leave
right.
Leave me alone, I leave you alone. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We learn about him too. See, we know what each one does.
So he's backing up the horse in order to get a head start
because
he knows this one is fast.
Yeah, he has to give the steer a certain head start anyway.
Just missed. Yeah.
Just barely coming back.
Well, how many years, Walter, when you're a kid, roping and everything, does it take to be able... I mean, you have to kind of time the back feet of that calf and hit the rope kind of under it.
Perfect.
So you're sort of hitting the ground and coming up under both rear legs.
At the same time.
And pulling that. I mean, that's just...
They call it, in the team roping world, it's called a healer's world. Because everybody can go learn to head. Everybody knows, as a ranching kid or whatever, you know how to head, you know how to rope things. Now they're little bitty kids, 3 and 4 and 5 years old, that are practicing on these dummy machines now that can heal. So it's in their brains, like they're like little sponges. You see these, you walk by one of them and he'll heal your ass, you know, he'll rope you and trip you. But they're learning to heal. More of them are healing than doing anything because it's an art.
Wow.
An art. And once they get it, they can rope with anybody they want. People pick them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I want that kid. He can heal.
So you going to do one now?
Yeah.
Okay, do it, if you would, as Max von Sydow. Would you? As if, yeah. Yeah, look kind of classy.
Although it is a little different than a lot of sports because you're trying to control yourself, your horse, and the steer.
You got a fancy, what is this from? Just California.
Yeah, I won that.
Shootouts.
Won that at the California Shootouts.
2007 finals. Yeah. Wow, nice. See, today's cowboy answers a cell phone while in the saddle.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
It's just incredible. Incredible.
Who would have thought it?
So back in the day, Walter, I mean, you doubled just about everybody, didn't you?
As long as they were my size.
Well, you're a pretty big guy.
Yeah, I mean, I did Eastwood and James Coburn.
Yeah.
Those are some of the guys.
And they're making a lot of Westerns. A
lot of Westerns in those days. In fact, I watch them on TV now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid.
Yep.
He was on the other night. I watched it. Bite the Bullet. Gene Hackman. Gene Hackman a bunch.
Yeah.
Any of those guys that were 6'2", 6'3", I doubled all of them. And coordinated a lot of their shows. When I got hurt pretty bad, you know. And,
on a Western?
Yeah, I pulled a horse over and split my pelvis open. And after that, I kind of quit doing major stunts and went to coordinating more than doing stunts.
And that was a relationship thing as well. You just said, guys, I'm in the same way. You said, I'm not being an extra, I'm going to be a stuntman. And then you stuntman, you got hurt, you said, well, I'm a coordinator.
I'm a coordinator now, second unit director, coordinator. I can't hit the ground. I'll do little fights and I'll do little things, and I'm basically a coordinator. I got a steel plate holding me together, and but I still went back. I got hurt. I turned 36 in the hospital, and after I got out, I came back, and I got hurt in August. That next April, I got on 7 bucking horses for a commercial, and I started bulldogging again. I used to steer wrestle in the rodeos, and I did everything I ever did before, so I knew I could do it, and then I stopped. I said, no more. So when I was 42, I quit bulldogging, and I quit basically doing any big stunts, you know. Just went to coordinating.
Yeah.
You know, I worked a little bit on the Back to the Futures. I got in front of the camera a little bit, you know, but...
Yeah, I remember.
Tough.
Well, you went off during the first shoot. You went off to do Silverado,
right?
And then came back. Our shoot took so long. With firing the guy and all that kind of stuff that you and some other guys, too, went off, did Silverado, and came all the way back, and we were still going.
Yeah, no, I started all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was great.
So I don't know how much battery I have left, but tell me I asked Ben, too. The young guy, you know, the young buck coming to you now, or Ben, what do you say to them? Because, you know, like you, he's 18, 19, and he just wants in. And he's, you know, he,
he rides or he drives or he whatever. What do you recommend to these guys?
Go get a regular job, go to school, do something else because it's going away. I mean, I got a son that's only 25 and is doing stunts now.
Yeah.
And I've got a daughter that's 29. She's doing stunts now, but they don't have much of a longevity, I don't feel. I don't know if they'll even make retirement out of the business, you know, because it's changing so much.
Is it the CGI stuff, the computer-generated, that's just making it... A guy can now jump off a building, and it's just a little picture of him, and they just make him fall off the building.
Some of the directors are still wanting to do it the old-fashioned way, and it's still just as good. Go ahead, Butch! But as far as a young guy coming into the business, God, I don't think he has much of a future, you know? It's just the TV shows, yeah, there'll be a few fights, but you don't need as many stuntmen either. And there's thousands of them now. When I came in, there was maybe 150, 200 stuntmen as well. So
Another just thousands of guys who have driven here from wherever and saying, I could ride or I can drive. I could ride a motorcycle
exactly.
Like crazy, and I just want in.
Exactly. And some of them get in. Only one guy, I told him, I said, just get out. Don't even try to get in the business. Go away. It's impossible to do. And go do something else. And he said, well, one kid said, well, you did it, didn't you? I said, good point. So if you have that desire, yes, you can probably do it. There goes my daughter.
Both the kids do stunts, huh?
Yeah. I didn't want her to. I wouldn't even help her get in the business.
So you're a big stunt coordinator and did all this stuff and know everybody, and daughter comes to the dad and he says, no way, honey.
No way. It's not a business for a girl. So her uncle happens to be James Caan.
So she goes to Uncle Jimmy.
And says, I want in the business.
And says, I want in.
Jimmy says, oh, hell yeah, I'll help you. And so when he was going to help her, so I said, oh, I'll do it. But she had to be. She was 21 finally when I helped him. But my son, I got him in when he was 10 years old, doubling little kids and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's all right for a guy.
So he was a kid stuntman.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a kid doing it when he's 10.
When he's 10 years old. I used to train guys out here, and he could do everything. You know, I train guys. Look, this Tony. I trained Tony. And Wes, I say, Wes, run out through there. When I shoot, you take a hit. He'd take off, run. I go, boom, boom. And he'd go down. Okay, now, Tony, it's your turn. And so it's kind of embarrassing for guys to do that. But it is. It's kids playing.
Sure.
And my son could do it. He would. Should I had him up in a... Even the welfare worker came to me on one of his first jobs. I don't know how old he was, but I had him. I had to push him up this pole. It's only like this big around. He had to hang on up there. And you know how long it takes for the cameras sometimes.
Oh, sure.
He's up there shaking, you know, and the humane.
The welfare lady comes up to you, go, you can't leave a kid up a pole like that. He's your son.
Yeah,
well, that's my kid. If I say he can hang on to the pole, he can hang on to the pole.
I said, are you all right, Wes? He said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, ma'am, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
She said, well, you can't do it. And we did it about 8 or 10 times. And later that night, he said, oh, boy, my arms were getting sore, but I was hanging on.
But that's the stuntman way, isn't it? No matter what it is, hey, are you okay with those blades flinch? Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
I'm fine.
You're hitting on the ground. You don't have any air in you. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. Do it again. Yeah.
Can I do it again? Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But he had learned by being around it his whole life. He'd seen... stunt people. Yeah, I had him on a few sets down through the years before he got in. But now he's really good. They're all bragging on him everywhere he goes now. He's doing that Tarantino film right now. And Fallen Horses.
Django. Yeah.
He's doing that.
And he's Fallen Horses. He's doing that.
Yeah, he's Fallen. They say, God damn, that kid's good. I mean, older guys that are there, and they call me and say, boy, Wes is doing a hell of a job. I said, good.
Well, I would imagine if you grew up around here,
yeah,
doing stunts since you're 10 and riding and roping and everything, by the time you're 25, you're pretty good.
He's a good roper, too. He can rope the shit out of these steers, and he can do... But he wants to ride motorcycles, and he climbs mountains, and he's a repeller, and he wants to do it all. He wants to go climb Kilimanjaro and shit, you know.
Really?
So what are you thinking about?
Because I want, like, a Barca lounger and a glass of iced tea. That's what I want. I want to look at a picture of Mount Kilimanjaro and go, boy, that looks dangerous.
Yeah.
And just have a sip of iced tea.
Bring that guy over here who went up there.
I'll talk to him. I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. No way am I going to do it.
Yeah.
He put up a climbing wall over there in my tractor shed. And I said, what are you going to do with that? You know, got these little bitty handholds and stuff. And he just shake and got in great shape by doing it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Walking those lines. He was one of the only kids around here that could do it. He could walk those lines and...
Well, you do your rope, and if it's your turn, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just run this one. I like this one.
Sometimes having a career in Hollywood is worth it. When you're standing on a glorious morning in the middle of an arena, right in the middle of it, as real cowboys with real horses gallop right by me, about 4 feet in front of me, roping a calf here. It's just, I can't believe it sometimes, the life I get to live.
We finally got out here. 20 years ago, I tried to get you to come out here. I said, come on out to my ranch. Because I just bought this place then.
Oh, yeah?
I built this home and planted every tree and did everything here with nothing but bare property in 84.
Oh, right.
We did 85, I think we did.
The first one, yeah.
So I was just fixing it up then. But I tried to get guys to come out here and ride and do shit, and you wouldn't come.
I wouldn't come?
Uh-uh.
Hey, Walter, it's a guy with four kids. I was off.
Couldn't come.
That's right. Big Daddy was off trying to make some money.
I'm just glad you finally came now. I'm glad you're...
Well, it's wonderful to be up here. You know, I mean, coming up from the city to this place, it's under an hour from Los Angeles.
Minutes.
But you might as well be in Wyoming.
Oklahoma,
you might as well be in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I mean...
No, I tell people that all the time. They say, where do you live? Are we out there? Oh, no. Come on. Drive out here. Mm-hmm. And they figure out. From Universal, it'll take me 35 minutes. Of course, if there's traffic. But
yeah.
You pick your time. Hell, I did that Las Vegas series in Culver City. And for 5 years, I drove to Culver City.
Well, you stunt guys, man. You know, everybody lives out up here and everything. So about 5 in the morning, there are a lot of trucks headed south.
Headed south, I'm guaranteeing it. But it's a great way to live. When you come home, it's a good life we live out here.
Yeah.
I can walk out to piss outside and slam my door and shoot squirrels and kill animals and live a good life out here in the... I don't mean kill animals, but you know what
I mean. Oh, I know what you mean.
You're out in the country. I tell people all the time, there's not many guys 71 that could get on a horse and run 20 steers every day. And,
I'm amazed. And look at me. I'm 23.
Yeah, I know. Oh, shit. And visit. There's Ben.
I thought I got rid of you.
Should have got your hat on, though. That was the important thing.
I should have, but see, I didn't, you know, with a guy like me, I don't want to I don't want to assume anything. I don't want to wear a hat and come in and everyone's thinking, yeah, nice hat. How's the San Fernando Valley doing? You know.
Exactly. You know we'd shape it for you.
But you know, though, I have approached it with great respect for you guys and not saying I'm some tough cow. I'm saying, hey, I don't know it. You know it. I'm certainly willing to learn it. I'm excited about it. Of course, it's something that that I certainly didn't. Guy, I'm telling you, you know, me growing up where I did and how I did, just to be standing here, you know, in California after decades in movies and everything and watching cowboys, I really can't believe it.
Right. There's a lot of cowboys back there in Philadelphia.
There are in New Jersey. Yeah. No, they're plenty of them.
We
plenty
used
of.
To go to a rodeo there in Cowtown, New
Cowtown,
Jersey.
Cowtown, New Jersey. Cowtown Rodeo was on TV.
I was
Saturday
used to
night.
Win it. They,
you used to win Cowtown,
yes,
Rodeo?
I was in a movie in New York City and they said, hey, there's a rodeo at Cowtown. I said, where? So I met some guys and they took me out there and I would win. They would film two of them in one night.
Yeah.
And so I'd be on twice because I'd just generally win it twice.
So when I was a kid, I was watching you
watch me bulldog
win in Cowtown Rodeo in New Jersey.
It was raining and miserable. And he had a bunch of people. Did you tell them about your family?
stands?
Uh-uh.
That were sitting in the stands?
Go, want to go?
No, that was in Madison Square Gardens. After that, I used to go to Cowtown, and then I went to the gardens. I told all these people we were shooting in Harlem, all these blacks. Told them I was going to be in the rodeo. So they showed up.
They all come to the rodeo at Madison Square Gardens.
I'm up at Madison Square Gardens. Walter Scott's going to be there. So they all show up with their families, and they rolled out this big sign saying, "Go, Scotty, go." I was embarrassed. And my steer hung a horn in the chute, and I'm there forever. So the announcer picks up on it, and he's saying, "Looks like Walter's got his whole family here tonight." And I jumped out and won the performance. So I climbed up in the grandstand. I was kissing babies, and I could have been mayor of Harlem after that.
Go, Walter, go.
Go, Scotty, go.
What's the biggest thing? Do actors want to go for it a little too much and you have to peel them back? Or do actors not want to go for it and you have to kind of judge that and get the stunt person to do both? You just have to get the person and
some
see where they're at.
Some actors want to do it all. Some of them won't do nothing.
Really?
Like Tim Allen's line to me. I tried to get him on a horse back there on a show at Big Belgian. I said, "Believe me, this son of a bitch is bomb-proof. Look at him. He's just standing here. All you got to do is get up on him, and they're going to put the camera right there and take a picture of you." He says, "No, I will not get on that horse." And I said, "Well," and so I'm still trying to talk to him. And finally, he says, "You know, if I get up there and I fall off and get hurt, you're going to say, 'Well, I'll be damned, he never did that before.'"
I That's laugh. True.
That's a good point. It's another brain. It could happen. Yeah, you're right, Tim. Oh, he didn't want on it.
Give me a ladder and a saddle on it.
Exactly what we did. He didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah. That's the only time I got thrown on that move, you know, was on the ladder.
Oh, he fell off.
That horse tried to buck me off. I told Ben that. The horse tried to buck me off when I was trailing the rope behind me,
right?
And I was running up that street.
Right.
The only time, because, you know, the horse was moving around a little too much for being really close, so they put me on a ladder, and I, you know, said, "Let's get out of here." Oh. And the ladder said, "Yeah, bang!" So I got thrown off a ladder.
You rode through the bucking horse.
I rode through the bucking horse and fell off the ladder, yeah.
Is John Wayne story out of him?
No. John Wayne, too? John Wayne?
In the Cowboys. He had a part. He was one of the guys that went to the gold mines at first. He said he was so nervous because he had to go get in John Wayne's face and tell him, "You big, you know, whatever, we're out of here. We ain't making no money here, you know."
Yeah.
He's like, "I got to do that to John Wayne." He was nervous to do it.
So, okay, so I'll only bother you with one more thing, because you ride off, and Ben goes, "Hey, did he tell you about John Wayne?" I go, "What? John Wayne?" So, I mean, this must have been sort of it wasn't the middle of John Wayne's career. I mean, it had to be older. He was.
My John Wayne story is basically on the Cowboys with the little kids. Is that the one?
That was a great movie.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was one of the guys, and I was an actor. Something, an actor. And we rode up and we quit his outfit, John Wayne's, and went to the Ruby River to find gold. I was one of those, Matt Clark and me and Jerry Gatlin and some other stunt guys, Larry Finley. And so when we get there, Mark Rydell, the day before, takes us in his trailer, you know, and we're rehearsing the lines and we're all talking. And one of my lines was, "Well, what do you expect? Your work is like dogs, night and day, and Christmas, too." And I haven't met John Wayne yet. So we go out there this next morning, and we're all standing there waiting. And John Wayne comes walking by. He didn't even say hello to us or anything. He goes into the pen with the director. And the director is talking to him. And then we're all standing there waiting, and he walks out. Swings the gate open and says, "You boys are late, or get yourselves an Ingersoll watch," and somebody says something, and I look at him and I say, "Well, what do you expect? Your work is like dogs." And then he said, he stopped and he said, "Is he going to say that line that way?" And my heart's beating like that anyway, you know. He said, "Because if he does, I'd hit him. You better move him over there." I didn't even look at Mark Rydell. I
moved over
where he told me to go. Yeah, but I was scared. I said, "Oh, shit, I'm fired. This somebody hates my line reading, you know." He said, "I'd hit him." Anyway, he was good, though, to us. And that was one of his last films, you know.
Sure.
But he would come to work in the morning. He saw me standing out there one morning. He got there about 7. And the limo pulled up, and I'm just standing there drinking coffee. It's cold, you know. And he says, so what time was your call? I said, 6 o'clock. Thank you. So the driver pulls over, and he calls the assistant director over there, and he says, when those guys have a 6 o'clock call, I have a 6 o'clock call. We're here at the same time.
Hmm. He says, yeah. He's in a limo,
yeah,
and you're on horseback, but still, 6 o'clock for everybody.
He's professional. I thought he was very professional. Uh-huh. He treated us very professional, and I really admired the guy. You know, he's always my hero since I was a little kid. To be working with him, my God.
Oh, sure.
My heart was beating.
The Cowboys, I mean, my dad loved that movie.
It was a great
If it's
movie.
Ever on TV, my dad would watch it. I'd watch that movie.
We all hated Bruce Dern.
Yeah.
Dang it. You know the littlest kid in there, the little bitty kid, Clay O'Brien?
Yeah.
He won the world team roping like we're doing right now 8 times.
Really?
After that, he quit showbiz. He did a few more pictures, did a couple more pictures with John Wayne. And then he was always a cowboy. He grew up as a cowboy.
Wow.
And he went and won the world 8 times.
And who's your favorite movie star to work with, Walter? Who's the guy? Who was your man?
Well, they've all been good to me.
Well, that's great.
I mean, you know, I don't have anything bad to say about any of them. There's probably some, you know, that I disliked. But hell, I've thought, and I think they treat stunt people different.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, shit, Jimmy Colburn was great. I mean,
yeah.
Tom Selleck is always great. I mean, he still sends me a Christmas basket every year. Mm-hmm. He'll sit down and talk and shoot the shit with me and stop production and... Max von Sydow, he was great.
Yeah.
All those, Gene Hackman.
Well, you have to, I mean, anyone with a brain has to respect what you guys do.
Yeah.
Respect the level of skill,
yeah,
the level of risk, the professionalism and everything. You cannot disrespect
performers. There's a certain amount of respect there. They have to respect you for what you're doing, you know,
mm-hmm,
and you're helping them and trying to make them look good.
Nobody's... Right.
But I don't know who the best would be. Who's the best? They're all...
Ah, you named it. They're all of those guys.
They've all been good to me.
Yeah.
I mean, even Tom Cruise was great on Far and Away, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he was... My brother John, did you ever see that film?
A long time ago, yeah.
Yeah. John was one of the head guys fighting him in that fight sequence.
Oh, uh-huh.
Bare-fisted. Fight me here, farmer!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he Cruz came to me and said, ask John if I can really hit him, you know, in the side, in the kidneys, because it looks like he's pulling it. You know,
yeah.
Keep looking at him on. So I went to John. I said, he really wants to hit you, you know, and so you can see it and make you react. And he says, okay, if I can really hit him. So
did he do it?
Yes. Cruz says, fine. And but you watch the movie now, you can see Cruz lay into John. You can just see the skin ripple. You know he didn't. It wasn't.
He just gave him a real shot to the ribs.
He gave him a shot, and I don't know if John ever really hit him or not. But he said, "Yeah, tell him as long as he'll let me hit him."
Fair.
Yeah.
And he did all of his own fights. Cruz did a hell of a job. The stuntmen only had to learn one fight each. He had to learn 8 of them, and he knew every punch. He knew every shot. You know, go ahead, Butch, run the hell out of him, or score him. Scoring.
What does scoring mean?
I mean, not
just let him go, and he'll just run back to
his. He'll go back down there, but see, he's on short term here.
He's the slow one.
No, he's
the too fast one.
He's fast
that drags his back feet.
Yeah, he's a short timer.
Oh man, buddy.
Yeah, next time you.
I'll order the Angus burger at my local fast food.
Don't go to McDonald's.
And, you know, I'll tell you, you should have run a little slower.
Not drug your feet.
Yep.
Go ahead and see if you can rope this one, Butch. I know I can.
As I was out walking one morning for pleasure, I spied a Walter Scott just a-riding along. His hat was thrown back and his spurs were a-jingling, and as he rode toward me, he was singing this song. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, I'm a Hollywood cowboy, looking for fortune and out on my own. Whoopie-tie-yi-yo, I'm a Hollywood cowboy, trying to survive in this business of show. Now, Tom, get off my porch and go do your podcast, because I... Okay, then I had to go because the cowboys were all around and they were still riding horses, so I left because I only belong with them for... Well, I begin being there a little uncomfortable because of the whole... me not being a cowboy thing. But thanks so much to Walter Scott, all the guys out there who were very, very welcoming and friendly to me, and always are. Always are. Great bunch of guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks to Emily Wilson for producing. Thanks to Chris, Katie, everybody over at Nerdist Industries. Thanks to McPherson Guitars for helping me out on my live show. Come out and see a live show if you would. I'm all over this great land of ours. But, hey, consider subscribing to the podcast. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend about it, would you? We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.